Chapter 11. Anybody need a worksheet? That didn't get a worksheet, just slip your hand up. Anybody need a worksheet? One down here, John. If you would please. We did this, we got through one point last week, two weeks ago, whatever it was. And I hope you, this is kind of a negative way of looking at things. Jim Braces is always so nice and so positive about everything he does, and I feel like I come up here and smack everybody in the head with a 2x4. But I guess God uses all of us here. But anyway, we're looking at some things here. The fact is, we're talking about good-looking hypocrites. And what that really kind of means is, you know, we can look real good and still be a hypocrite. Now, we'll talk about this, but a hypocrite simply means an actor. Somebody who's playing a role that's not necessarily them. It's not necessarily real. Now, I'm not saying that being nice to somebody when they were mean to you is being a hypocrite. See, some people think that. Well, if I'm nice to them, then that's being a hypocrite. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Well, if you're only being nice because you're trying to cover up, then you are a hypocrite. All right? But you ought to be able to love your enemies without being a hypocrite. See, that's the way it's supposed to work. And I've had folks say, well, I'm just going in there being nice. We're all going in there and smile like everything's all right. No, we can smile even though everything's not all right. I'm living on the mountain underneath a cloudless sky. That's when we're living in his realm. You know what I mean? We're everything is going. Viewing here, we can see all the stuff and all the mess. But the fact is, we're above all that. Listen, God's in control of all that. Why do I need to take thought of those things? All I need to do is think on these things to be anything pure, virtuous, be any praise. Think on these things, you know. Letting your moderation be known unto all men because the Lord's at hand, you know. Being careful for nothing but all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, letting our requests made known, and the peace of God keeping our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You can smile in the midst of this. Listen. A Christian who runs around with a long face is basically telegraphing everybody else, I don't know how to walk with God. Now, I'm not saying there aren't times like the flex going through today. But you know what? It's amazing how God gives a grace and a peace. Miss Jeannie was down there. They were doing all right. You talked to Carol down there in the lobby, down at the funeral home. And you know, she came up and talked with me. And you know, at the end, she came up and talked, said something at the very end of the service there and so forth. And passionate about it. And her heart is, you know, is broken. But yet it's being held together by the grace of God. And so it's amazing what can happen. When we are not what we say we are acting as something else. We can be good looking and not be real. Let's read these few verses here. And then we'll pray, and I'm already too late. But here we go. Luke chapter 11, verse 37. It says, and he spake a certain Pharisee, as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. So Jesus didn't wash his hands before dinner, and he really gave him a hard time. So now I'm not going to tell all the little boys in this church it's okay not to wash your hands before dinner. But anyway, it's not a law. Verse 30, well, it may be a law in your house. But in verse 39, the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside, the appearance, the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Oh, we look so good on the outside, but we're good-looking hypocrites. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. For ye are as graves, which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers and said to him, Master, thus saying thou reproachest us also. And he said, Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touched not the burden with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers kill them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them that shall slay, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, which perished between the altar and the temple. You killed them right there in the middle of God's house. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge, and ye entered in not yourselves, and them that were entered in ye hindered. And as he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and speaking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. They didn't want to look at, they weren't looking at whether that what he was saying was true. They just want to figure out a way to discount what he was saying. Let's pray, and we'll talk about good looking hypocrites, part two. Father, again, we thank you for your word. Lord, again, maybe you look in the mirror, and my guess is all of us have played a hypocrite somewhere down the way. And if not, Lord, may this be a good warning and caution not to let these things slide into our lives, because that's what they do. They just kind of slide in. Before long, we're doing this, and we don't even realize it. We may even think we're being spiritual. We're so good-looking religiously. And Lord, help us not to be ones that compare ourselves with others, which is not wise, but to realize when we look into the mirror of your word, it shows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So Lord, I pray that you bless us here in these few moments. In Christ's name, amen. Now, last time we were together, we did the first part here, and let me give you those as we go along. They're in the dark, and the dark print, we'll move on from there. How do we know if we're playing the hypocrite? The fact is, we all have probably done that a time or two. And the fact is, other people see it before we do. Now, we can kind of pull it off for the little kids, but teenagers can usually see right straight through us. They haven't learned how to cover it up as well as we have. They see it for what it is. I found that a lot of times, you know, I'm not saying this is always the case, but I know that there are times, and it's probably more than we'd like to believe, where we've had these kids who've been right there with us all along, and all of a sudden they turn into a teenager, and they don't want to have anything to do with God and the church and mom and dad and the whole kit and caboodle. They want to throw it out. Now, there's different reasons why that happens, but I think sometimes the reason is, first of all, we haven't informed our kids all the way already ahead of time that we're sinners and we need to be right with God ourselves. But we try to make it look like we're never wrong, because we think we're gonna lose their respect if they find out that we were wrong. They already know we were wrong. We're gonna lose respect if we're not willing to admit that we're wrong. More kids have turned away from the things of God because of one thing in public and another thing at home, from the people that they hold the highest in esteem, their parents. Well, they don't sound like they hold us very high in esteem. Well, you see, why do they get upset with us most? Because they expect the most. We don't get upset from some guy down the road who did something wrong and, you know, well, I don't know, that's probably just the way he is. But somebody that we thought was on the up and up, somebody that we thought walked with God, failed and then didn't admit it, and even tried to cover it up or rationalize it or make it seem okay, if we're not careful, that's often what turns young people away from the Lord. I hate to say it, but it's true. Now, it's not always. Adam and Eve had two kids, Cain and Abel, and they both grew up in the same household. One was considered a prophet, just called him a prophet in our passage here, and the other was a murderer. And you can't blame the kids that Cain was running around with. You can't blame the neighbors. You can't blame the video games. You can't blame the school. You can't blame. So it does happen, okay? But all things being equal, hypocrisy can do an awful lot of damage, and even talks about that here. Number one, hypocrites are impressed with the temporal things rather than the long term. As long as I look good right now. Letter B, a hypocrite is an actor, someone that assumes a character that's not them. There's an awful lot of Christian actors. Now, the fact is, and Brother Jim said this, Brother Brayson said this is true, and I know because I get around other places too. He says, your folks are so easy to preach to. I said, I know they are. They like preaching. They're just good folks. I always have, they're just good folks. They just want to come in and find truth. He said, they really do. He said, boy, I get in some place. He even said, they're kind of like, all right, move me. You know, and I can't imagine doing that at the gym, be honest with you. But anyway, there are folks like that. We have a good group here. The thing is, if we're not careful, we'll start getting proud that we're so humble. You know, oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I love to look in the mirror, get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be. Oh, I won't say that. Of a man. Anyway, oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. And I think sometimes we're not careful, we never meant that. We just kind of drift into that. We start comparing ourselves with each other. I'm going to say it, maybe I shouldn't, but Jan and I went to eat one Sunday after church. We went down to a local place to eat. And the person walked in, and we walked in, and there was a couple sitting at a table, and the guy says, shh, here comes the preacher. Well, I didn't remember meeting the guy in my life. Here comes the preacher. And so I went over and laughed and, you know, joked with him and howdy with him, talked a little bit, and the lady says, we're from the good church. Now, I don't know what that was supposed to imply, but we're from the good church. And you know, we're not careful. We'll get hung up. We're the good people, and all of a sudden we've shot ourselves in the foot. Letter C, hypocrites make much of man. They're worried about what man looks like, what man thinks, what man's going to do. They're worried about man, and so in the same way, then they're worried about themselves. They're worried about this realm. Letter D. Hypocrites are big respecters of persons. Big respecters of persons. You know that we have so-and-so who come to our church. The mayor comes to our church. You know we have three so-and-so senators come to our church. Now, if they come to our church, great. We're glad to have them. Well, we've got, you know, this billionaire and this doctor and this lawyer and this, you know, and we know. Well, fine, but the fact is, I really don't want to know. Because the fact is, we start making a big to-do out of that, and then really what we're doing, we're starting to measure everybody about each other. That doesn't make any difference. One of the wonderful things in this church, and it has happened, I have seen millionaires. We've had a couple of millionaires who've been in our church for a while here. Millionaires who will sit right down next to somebody that probably doesn't have two dimes together and probably hasn't had a bath in 5 weeks. And it makes no difference to any of them, either one of them. And it shouldn't. It shouldn't. God sees them all the same. Remember when they went, they were in the temple and some people were given their tithes and the widow came up and put her little mite in there, you know, in there. And Jesus said, hey, guys, come here. She gave the most. How you measure how much you gave, what's the value of what you gave? Not by how much you gave, but by how much you have left after you've given. She gave it all. She gave the most. Hypocrites are respecters of persons. Number two, hypocrites are impressed with the style of their clothes. Don't get into all this stuff because we were here before. style their clothes. Now, I'm not saying it's not nice to give God your best. You should. But if you start saying, you realize you should be dressing like this. Well, wait a minute. Modesty. Appropriateness. I said last time, if I was in the Philippines, I probably would have a Hawaiian shirt on. That's square in the bottom, isn't tucked in. That's actually the formal wear there. That's what you wear when you're trying to be respectful. But on the other hand, what I've often said, well, if I work for the president, I would wear a suit and tie. I'd probably wear my tie so it comes down to here. But if I was for this president, but I would wear a jacket and a tie. I'm kind of glad our president wears a jacket and tie most of the time. Actually, I think it looks more presidential. There's a lot of things that aren't, but I'm glad he looks, you know, presidential. That's good. But the fact is, if that's not what you have, that's all right. And I work for the president's boss. And so, you know, that's all right. But the fact is, don't be looking at these people. Don't be looking at each other that way. You know, we don't need to do that. Number three, hypocrites are impressed with worldly position. They're fighting. You listen, Jesus says that's what the Gentiles seek. Power over everybody else. They want power in the eyes of men. I tell you what we want is humility in the eyes of God, and he will lift us up in due time. That's what we're looking for. Number four, hypocrites are impressed with worldly education. Listen. There are some people who say, well, I'm going to go to, okay, I have no problem with you going to an accredited school. There's different things for different needs, depending on what you're going to do. If I'm going to have somebody who's going to be an engineer, I'm not going to send them to West Coast Baptist College because they're not going to become an engineer, you know, at West Coast College. You're just not going to do it. But what they need to do is find a good college next to a very good church and realize what they're getting into when they go to college. On the other hand, I wouldn't give you two hoots for a guy who wants to be a pastor who's going to go to Yale to do it, or Harvard, or Princeton, or some other places that used to be good places. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for it because they're going to have to come out with the right thing. But that school isn't accredited. No, but it's going to do the work of God. So we worry about what man thinks, we worry about what God thinks. Well, man, I'm never going to get ahead if that, listen, when Dr. Shelton Smith left the Southern Baptist Convention because he knew that a lot of money was going to missions that were doing good Peace Corps type work, but they really weren't doing what missionaries are called to do. And he also found a lot was going to that's all part of the cooperative program, and a lot was going to great Southern Baptist bastions of religious thought like Duke University. You know, Wake Forest. They were Southern Baptists. You never know it now. And so we're worried about, we said, well, yeah, but just think if you have that on your resume. I don't think God's real impressed. And in fact, I don't want to go someplace to be a pastor where they're impressed with that. I want to go someplace to pastor where they're impressed with somebody who knows the Bible. Now, I'm biased, but I think our boys here that we have here that have gone out here to West Coast and learned the Bible, come back, I think they know the Bible. And I don't think they would have got that a lot of other places, especially not some of those other ones I just named. What are we impressed with? Well, I don't know, West Coast, where's that from? God, I think right now is a good place. There's some other good places we have. I know there's Commonwealth Baptist Bible College. There's Heartland Baptist Bible College. There's Brother Clark is working with a group of small college over here in New Jersey. There's another one in Delaware. And they're doing their best. But the thing is, I want them to know the book of God. Okay, we get impressed with people. Number five, hypocrites are impressed with confident attitudes and demeanors. Now, do not watch Empire and Star. You get enough of it just on the advertisements on TV. But they have this attitude, and people are impressed because they must really know what they're doing. They must really be somebody special because they have this attitude. Lord's not interested in a lot of attitude. Not that kind of attitude. A confident, where I'm the only one, I've got it down. Now, confident attitude in that I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he will keep that which I've committed against that day. That's a different attitude. Number six, hypocrites are impressed with social status and company that one keeps. They get very impressed with all these things. And the letter E, we are not to be of the world, but we are to be in the world. Now, boy, this is awful. Look at where it is, already 8 o'clock. Number two, new stuff. Verse 38. And he shall come, I'm sorry, here we go. And when the Pharisees saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Number two, hypocrites. Now again, we all have fallen into these things. We've got to be careful. Hypocrites are more impressed with man's thoughts. Hypocrites are more impressed with man's thoughts than with the Lord's thoughts. Now his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. Letter A, traditions can be seen as law. Traditions can be seen as law. We've got to be careful. See, that was what he's saying, listen, he marveled that he not first washed before dinner. Now, we get these things, of course, you know, we got things, and well, why do you, there's other places where they say, why do you and your disciples not follow our traditions? And Jesus says, well, why do your traditions not follow God's law? Now, which one are we supposed to be worrying about, our tradition or the law? Now, hang on. It is amazing how we will fight and even make enemies over some traditions, even in a church. A tradition. We had some time ago, we had it's been some years ago, and we had a bus rider was going to get baptized. Now, this bus rider's parent actually went to a different church in the city. But put their child on our bus to come here, and well, that's great. And the fellow got saved, and he wanted to get baptized. And he came in the morning, he was going to get baptized, and sometime from between Sunday school and the time church was going to get started, she was sitting right back here, because I remember, like, she says, I went over, she says, he tells me that he's not going to be baptized in a white robe. I said, no, man, we have blue robes for that, because to be honest, when the white gets wet, it tends to show her things. We have blue robes, just a lot more modest and so forth. Well, you always get baptized in a white robe. I said, actually, a lot of people for years and years got baptized in regular street clothes, and they put, but you ever try to get wet street clothes off, you know? And these, you know, and these are nylon, and they don't gather up on you, they don't cling to you, and they're easy to get back off and get changed and dried off and everything. And well, he's not getting baptized. It's not a white robe. I mean, she was very emphatic, and we were about ready to walk out. I said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry, but I said, I'll be honest with you, it doesn't really say in the Bible that they're supposed to be baptized in a white robe." "Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it does so. It says it right in there." I said, "Well, no, ma'am, it doesn't." And then I said, "The only place where it talks about white robes is when, you know, it says that they were in heaven and those who were beheaded were standing there and, you know, they had their white robes and they're the robes of right." "Well, there you go. There it is." I said, "That's not talking about baptism." You know, I mean, I know they probably did it in the church because it kind of gave that idea, okay, we're washed, you know, we're clean of our sin, going to wear white. Well, that's fine. But that's like saying a woman isn't married if she doesn't get married in a white dress. You know what I'm saying? Now, see, some of you are saying, well, then I guess she shouldn't have worn a white dress. Because everyone gets married in a white dress. Show me that here. All right? You're not going to find it. It's something that we've done, and it was very nice, and it has some nice symbolism in it. But that doesn't mean it has to be there. What would have happened if we had a stained glass window back here, and we had built a new building right smack on the back, and there wasn't going to be any sunlight coming in that stained glass window anymore? And we said, you know what, we're just going to take the glass out and just put the cross. Oh, we can't take the glass out. No. That glass has been in there for 30 years. I mean, it was a sign from God when they told us to put that glass. You know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, we get ourselves in trouble. You mean what I say doesn't matter? Well, it matters as much as what I say, which doesn't matter either. This is what matters. And so, if we're not careful, our traditions become more important than God's law. Some folks are more concerned over a stained glass window than whether the truth is proclaimed. We're all just flesh and blood, and to make ourselves out to be more than we are is hypocrisy. Sometimes we're forever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Now, hang on tight. Pull the seatbelt. Now, I'm a King James guy because of the manuscripts, because of the type of translation it is. And we can get you the tapes for those if you want to hear about that. That's why I'm not in it, because my mama used it. That doesn't fly very well. And I think we all ought to have the same one. When the third graders are memorizing scripture, when they get to fourth grade, they should be able to use the same verse. Shouldn't have to change translations. All right? You see, there's a lot of hard words in there. Yeah, there's a lot of hard words in the medical dictionary, but I'm glad my surgeon learned the real ones. Okay? I don't want a Bible for dummies. But hang on. What if you led somebody to the Lord and you didn't even bring your Bible along with you?
Well, they can't be saved.
What Bible were they holding in Acts chapter 2? Now, I'm not making light of the Bible. It's important, and we ought to have the Word of God. And, hey, you ought to be ready and willing to give the reason for the hope that's within you. You ought to be able to quote those verses. They teach those things. Probably Melody over here could probably quote some of the verses. For all sin comes short of the glory of God. John 3:16, for God so loved. There ought to be some verses we can come up with and tell them right it is, and maybe he'll write it down and say, hey, go home and look this up. In fact, if you don't have a Bible, look it up on the Internet. You can find the Bible on the Internet anywhere. Just say, KJV, here it is, there it'll be. But if you're not careful, there are people who are in this area who are put off when they see on the website that we use a King James Bible, because somebody basically made it sound like if they didn't have a King James Bible in their hand, when they led you to the Lord, you're still going to hell. Now, you ought to be quoting King James the best you can. You ought to be leading back. I don't think we should have a lot of schism. But on the other hand, if we're not careful, it becomes, bless God, that's what we do, because that's what we do. Well, why are you feuding with the Hatfields? Because we're shooting at each other. Well, why are you shooting at each other? Because we're feuding. Well, why are you shooting and feuding at the Hatfields? Because they're Hatfields. Traditions. We've got to be careful. We will make little of the Word of God and more of the thoughts and the thoughts of man, and if we love to quote the secular scholars more than the Word of God. Nothing wrong with throwing some word and say even somebody who's smart believes this too. There's nothing wrong with saying that, but that's not gospel truth. That's not what the Holy Spirit's speaking on. Let me give you number three. I want to show you some signs of hypocrisy, and I'll probably do these three and have to stop. Signs of hypocrisy. Letter A, making the public appearance top priority. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't do the best we can do, but is that more important than the inner man? It's almost like as long as everybody thinks I'm good and godly, then I must be. Because you see, I hold the word of people higher than the word of God. So if everybody around me says I'm spiritual, then even though I'm not sure I am, I must be, because all these good people think I am. Well, what's the word? I know that it kind of says that I'm wrong, and I don't like that spot there. I don't know. I don't read that part very much, but everybody else says I'm really a great guy, even though I and the Lord know my heart. and I'm not. Look at verse 39 there, underneath number 3. It says, and the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of raving and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? If we're important about how clean we look on the outside, then we should be just as concerned about how clean we are on the inside. Even some places nobody else can see. I think some folks would be horrified if anyone ever knew what they were really like on the inside. Now hang on. This is kind of apropos. They're very private people. I'll guarantee you most people who say, when you say, do you know for sure if you die to go to heaven? He said, religion is a private matter. You know what? If the Holy Spirit's inside, the Holy Spirit is saying, another Christian. Yeah, I am. When did you get saved? I got saved when I was 13. I was out at a camp there, and you know what I'm saying? Now, whether you're an outward person like that or not, but it's like all of a sudden you see somebody who's saved, you start bearing witness. You say, wow, someone actually asked me if I was saved or not. Yeah, I am. If someone asks you if you're saved, they say, I think it's a private matter. What they're saying is don't look on the inside because you're not going to like what you're going to see. Hypocrites are non-transparent. Now, I said this is very apropos. Jim Brayson's about as transparent as a guy can get. He's just about as transparent, tells all his warts, just kind of leaves it all right there all hanging. Sometimes when we're hypocrites, we almost seem bigger than life and unnatural. I shouldn't pick on people, but because this poor lady's dead and gone, but you remember Jim and Tammy Faye Baker? Remember that? I heard her say one day, and not that I watched the show, but she was on some kind of, I don't know whether I read it in an article or saw the news on a TV show. She says, my husband has never seen me without my makeup. You remember her Mickey Mouse eyelashes and stuff? Remember she said, my husband, I want to make sure that I'm always, present myself well to my husband. He's never seen me without my makeup. And then you start wondering, I wonder what else is phony. I mean, you know what? That's why marriage is such a wonderful image of the relationship with Christ in the church. You see, Christ knows all our faults, our failures, our flaws, where all the warts and the moles and the. And he still loves us. And you got a spouse who knows all your faults and your flaws and, what used to be in the chest is now dropped in the drawers and. And it's not like, your feet stink. And you wake up in the morning, you have morning breath. And the hair that's always just great, wonderful is going. And they still love you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Many of these people have convinced themselves that even God sees them as the one they claim to be and not as what they really are down underneath, I think, sometimes. So making the public appearance top priority. Letter B, making our public actions priority. Look what it says in verse 41. But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees. He says, ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done and not leave the other undone. He says, listen, you know what he's talking about? He's talking about the Pharisees who say, I thank God that I'm not like this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican stood far off, not able to raise his head, to lift his head to the Lord, and smote his breath and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He says, that man went down justified rather than the other. We're not, listen, this is another reason why I don't want to know what people give money-wise. I've seen good men do that. I won't do it. Maybe it's a little pet peeve. Maybe we could handle it. Maybe we couldn't. But the fact is, the Bible says, do your alms in secret, and the Lord will bless you outwardly. I am not going to stand here and say, you know what, we need to come up with $25,000. Who will give us $1,000? Anybody here give me $1,000? Would you give me $1,000? $1,000? Okay, we got $1,000. Would another give me $1,000? Okay, well, how many will give us $500? Well, I'll still give some. I am not going to do that. I am not going to do that. Because you know what? God said, don't do it that way. And I listen, you say, well, you're going to get a lot of money. I don't need your money. God has the money somewhere. What I need is God's blessing on what we're doing. If we have the money to do it, but we still don't have God's blessing, we're barking up the wrong tree. Now, I've been places where they've done that, and I think they've meant well. I'm just telling you, according to the Bible, and if, listen, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him to sin. So I just can't. I'm sorry, I can't, because the Bible makes it clear, don't do that. Letter C, making public position a top priority. Public appearance, public actions, and a public position. Verse 43 says, woe unto you Pharisees, for you love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. I'll tell you what. We're such weak flesh. I've seen churches out of love for their pastor treat him very, 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 very well. Give gifts and, you know, and just love. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Honor to whom honor. But then another generation comes up and the next preacher expects it. You know who I am. I mean, I'm the pastor of this church. You ought to make sure you sit, you toe the line. And when I walk in the room, don't you turn your face to me. You make sure you shake my hand. Now, it's crazy, but if we're not careful, we're looking for a position. I remember one of the things that I learned out of Hiles Anderson. That was a good one, too. They said way too many preacher boys are going out into the ministry, and what they're looking for is not for a pastorate, but for a position. Not for opportunity, but for an office. We are not there to be lords over God's creation, but servants under the great shepherd. And the thing is, we can be doing all the right things, but when our heart is not in the right place, God is not going to bless it like he should. Oh, we may get what we can get, but just think what we could do if we let God get what he can get. It's amazing. Something seems like almost, you know, you got somebody with a lot of talent or this or that and other thing, and you say, boy, they're going to be able to do great things. And it depends on how you look at it. They may even build a big church and have a big following. We might even be able to stand and smile and have 60,000 in our stadium. But are they brought? He said, listen, he said, go and preach repentance and the remission of sin. He didn't say go on TV and say, well, Homosexuality is not something I really need to dwell on. We're not going to deal with that. Some of you know who I'm talking about, some of you don't. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying, you know, I'd like to have 60,000 people. Of course, I wonder how many funerals we'd be doing if you had 60,000 people. Probably none. Because that's not what they came for. Didn't come to be have a church. They came for the show. With an actor. I'm just saying there's things we need to guard ourselves against. And it is so easy. Being a musician, there is such a fine line between praising and performing. And all you need to do, and listen, the thing is, you should be able to say, boy, that blessed my heart. Boy, that was good. And you ought to be able to do that. But I tell you what, the person needs to be fighting it all the time, saying, well, I'm glad I blessed their heart. Not, boy, maybe I'll still be doing that solo that so-and-so always does. It's such a razor's edge. Preacher boys, same way. I know they do it, and they do it on West Coast. I'll be honest with you, kind of, like, they have preacher boy contests. And see who preached the best message. Well, how do you know it's the best message? I would say something. This is going to sound terrible. I'm being very transparent with you. Jim Braceland is a wonderful preacher. I don't think he would win a preaching contest. But I think he ranks pretty high on the Lord's level. You see what I'm saying? And when it's all said and done, when I talk about musicians, do they say, oh, what a savior? Or do they say, oh, what a singer? It scares me every time I said, boy, I knew that big high note was coming. Boy, you hit that really well, Pastor Walsh. And I'll say thank you, appreciate that, you know. But the fact is inside, you know what I'm saying? They missed it. They missed it. Now, they were trying to encourage me, and I'm not beating up anybody. If you ever did that to me, I'm not beating up because I don't remember those things. I don't have that good a memory anyway. But I do know that it has happened, and I think, I wish. But then when they come up and said, you know what, that's with a tear in their eyes, I said, that's what I needed this morning. Ah, we've accomplished the goal. Or the Lord has accomplished the goal. And I allowed him to make me a, I'm sorry, I'll catch it. Everybody I knows I'm in the pulpit here. Maybe it's about time to get out of the pulpit. Maybe that's what it is here. Anyway, let's pray. We'll finish it. We'll work on this some more next week. I hope you understand these things. I'm not trying to beat anybody up. It's just that we've got to be so careful. We want God's blessing. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you for your mirror. Thank you for allowing us. And I thank these dear folks who are so open-hearted and transparent that they can look into these things and be willing to accept it, because, Lord, we all need to accept these things. Whether we've ever actually indulged in them, it's probably still a danger. So, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to see them. Take heed of the caution and the warning. Just keep our eyes on you. Father, thank you.